morning birds. Kind of wet out there, huh? No, I thought we'd have as much sound as we could in the morning here. I think that's a good thing. So I stumbled upon it's an app called Word Genius. I thought, wow, this is going to be cool. They give you a word every day. Let's see what today's word is. Turn down the airplane. Okay, today's word, here it is.
Quasitum.
Quasitum. Quasitum. That's, you heard that before? What is it?
Quasitum.
Quasitum. It means an answer to a problem. You ever heard of this?
Quasitum.
No. All right, well, yeah, it's an answer. We will find an answer to our problems today. It's from my new app, Word Genius. It's pretty good. And right below the Quasitum, there's it's an ad. It says, simple trick to eliminate dust. Phil Collins. You know, I introduced Genesis when he was with Genesis. It was like 20,000 people. Oh, I was terrified. I was just having that memory. I'm much older now, and I'm finally getting my blood pressure under control here. It's 4 after the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright, 2 R's in Gary, 2 E's in Lee, and Wright with a W. And it is snowing in Chicago, 36 degrees, and we're going to have some snow for the live hour here, which is between 9 and 10 Central Time. It's supposed to come down, and it is. I'm looking out. Wow, it just hit me. You know, I've worked in some like Quonset hut places where is this the studio? You didn't know because there was no window, but I just realized that we are going to be in good shape here. I can see out the backyard here, and we're doing well. So, and the birds are chirping, And we have lots happening today. We do. We're going to zip through some news here, and then we are going to eat. We absolutely are. So that news, I'll do it quick here. Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed by the Supreme Court to the Supreme Court yesterday. Wisconsin cannot count mail-in ballots that arrive after November 3rd. That's according to the Supreme Court. More than 90,000 people were forced to evacuate their homes in Southern California because of brush fires. And again, that's not in Northern California now. That's in Orange County. A bad turn of events here. And water and ice may be more accessible on the moon than previously thought. That is according to NASA. We're gonna get into that today. Aaron the Science Baron joins us in a few minutes. We'll talk about NASA and space and all that stuff. So, all right, back to the moment here. This is according to the New York Times here. Judge Amy Coney Barrett, a conservative appeals court judge and protege of former Justice Antonin Scalia, confirmed yesterday to the Supreme Court, capping a lightning-fast Senate approval that handed President Trump a victory ahead of the election and promised to tip the court to the right for years to come. Capitol mostly empty because of the resurgent coronavirus pandemic. Republicans overcame unanimous Democratic opposition to make Judge Barrett the 115th Justice of the Supreme Court and the fifth woman. The vote was 52-48 with all but one Republican, who is Susan Collins. She did not vote for Judge Barrett. She's the only Republican that didn't. Susan Collins, of course, is battling for re-election. It was the first time in 151 years that a justice was confirmed without a single vote from the other party. First time in 151 years. That vote concluded a brazen drive by Republicans to fill the vacancy created by the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Land with her feet running here. Judge Barrett's impact could be felt right away. There are major election disputes awaiting immediate action by the Supreme Court from battleground states of North Carolina and Pennsylvania. Both are concerning the date by which absentee ballots may be accepted. That's North Carolina and Pennsylvania. And as I read just a second ago, a little bit more on that, Wisconsin cannot count mail-in ballots that arrive after November 3rd, the Supreme Court ruling that yesterday. That rejects an appeal by the Democrats. And then, back to Judge Barrett and the rest of the justices. Major cases on Mr. Trump's policies, not to mention a potential challenge to the election results that the president had cited. There's a reason he needed a full complement of justices. That's right, because we disabled the post office department, and now the mail doesn't work, right? So now we're going to have a controversy about mail-in ballots coming in just in time for the election. And here comes a full complement of justices. Coming up quickly, also challenges related to the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, rights of same-sex couples, and the census, not to mention, last but not least, the court is also slated to act soon on a last-ditch attempt for Mr. Trump's personal lawyers to block the release of his financial records to a grand jury in Manhattan. That's right. We're going to take a bite out of that. And then we're going to eat. We are today. It's 10 after the hour. You know what? I'm in music. Can I just do my own thing today? Do you mind? Here's a pop record written by Mozart.
With
This is a band called The Toys from many, many moons ago with a song, as I said, it was actually written by Mozart. If you speed that one up, maybe some morning when we have some extra time, if you speed that record up, you get a da 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 little minuet there. Oh, yes, we're going to cover everything. It's 13 after the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. And let's take a quick break. I want to hear from the First Lady, my First Lady, and then we will go to the moon. Stand by.
I want to ask every single American, no matter what party you normally vote for, to please take a moment to pause. Click off the news. Think about how you felt over these last 4 years, how quickly things have turned. And then think about what the next 4 years could mean for our country's future. The message we will send to our children about who we are and what we truly value. Think about what would possibly compel you to accept this level of chaos, violence, and confusion under this president and be willing to watch our country continue to spiral out of control. Because we can no longer pretend that we don't know exactly who and what this president stands for. Search your hearts and your conscience. Go to iwillvote.com to request your ballot and make your voting plan right now. And then vote for Joe Biden like your lives depend on it.
There we are. Did you vote? You have a few days, but it's coming up soon. You know what? When we go to outer space, I just want to act childish. And I, for example, like right now, I'm going to play, I think this is the theme from, is this the, it is. The Jetsons. Hang on, America. They're blasting off.
Meet George Jetson.
Here he is.
His boy, Elroy.
That's right.
Daughter Judy.
She looks just like Ivanka, by the way, if you've seen this.
Jane, his wife.
I'm so sorry. All right, there we go. Now he folds the whole thing into a briefcase. I wanted to be George Jetson. Who wouldn't? All these modern conveniences. I'd settle for a microwave that works. All right, here's the big finish. It was the unfortunate cat.
Help! Jane, stop this crazy thing!
Ivanka, help! Jane. Ivanka! Thank you for indulging me. Aaron the Science Baron is so embarrassed that I had to bring him on with that particular thing. Morning, Aaron. How are you? You cannot, come on, you can't get your vehicle to fit into a briefcase the way George Jetson did. So anyway, we have actual news today. It's not often that I look at the news for the morning, you know, and that a space story makes it into the actual headlines. Water and ice may be more accessible on the moon than previously thought. This is according to NASA. This happened yesterday, yeah? Were you on it? Yeah, go ahead. Wow. That's a big word for a government agency.
Right? Pretty much. So basically they're saying, so they looked at the southern
Mm-hmm.
You'll find about a 12-ounce bottle of water worth of watermelon.
Wow. No, worth of. You won't find the bottle.
Right.
I misunderstood. I was like, I'm like digging. First guy that sees the bottle, raise their hand. So, wow. How do they know this, Aaron? You know what? Hang, Aaron, hang on a second. I think we have been talking, and I think nobody has heard you. They have just heard me. Sparks just, all right, we got to reconnect. Let's try it from the top here. Aaron joins us. Here he is.
Hello.
There, okay. Jeez.
Hello.
I'm sorry, we have too many switches going on here. All right, we'll start the segment. Here's Aaron the Science Baron. We're going to talk about water that they found on the moon yesterday. And I was just asking Aaron about this, and he said that in a, what did you say, a cubic meter of soil on the moon, they found a 12-ounce water bottle's worth of water, I think. Is that right? Okay.
Yes. All that's right, pretty much the average that you'd find.
Okay. And they found this how?
So they use this method called spectral analysis, where they look at the light being reflected off of a surface or off of an object, and they can see where there are certain dips in that spectrum of where light has been absorbed by certain molecules, certain ores, certain minerals. So they know the specific dips you'll see in the light spectrum from when water molecules are absorbing light.
Hmm.
So when they, you know, they can, via that method, they can tell, like, for instance, when Mars or in Venus, when they found the phosphine in the atmosphere,
Yeah. Basically
the same method. They're seeing where's light being absorbed and what molecules are most likely responsible for that.
So they made a big deal of this yesterday, and what was the timing? They were supposed to, they had something planned for the 26th of October. They were going to surprise everybody or somebody's birthday in NASA. But why yesterday?
You know, that's an interesting point. There have been, like, for instance, the information that we got from water being under Mars.
Yeah.
That's been a slowly developing story. The presence of water on the moon has been a developing story. So there does seem to be a slow drip of information that may have been, and as they said in the briefing, may have been held information that they knew, but they either wanted to get more clarification or waited for a better time. So I don't know specifically why now,
Yeah. But
this information, they even stated they had for a little while.
So the ramification of this is what? The theoretically we could live on the moon if there's water. Something like that? Is that my leaping too far away? Or?
Yes. So that is the top priority, us being able to sustain there, and also being able to use, because we have liquid fuel where we use hydrogen and oxygen to create our fuel, and the byproduct is just water. So we can use resources on the moon to create fuel and refuel for missions going to the moon, refueling, then coming back.
And I've got so many buttons here. I feel like I'm flying a spaceship. You're watching me on FaceTime here. So, at the risk of making a really inappropriate joke, but I mean, we've kind of worn out the Earth right now. So, people are thinking about, well, you know, let's go somewhere else, right? I mean, that kind of makes sense.
Right.
Do you think that the NASA program, and you and I, you know, we've been talking about this for a few months now. Does it bode well that now science is going to come back for us? I mean, I sure hope it does. You have a good feeling about that?
I do. I think, you know, between the asteroid we spoke about earlier, between the new realizations of Mars, we're at least having some more bigger moments that are getting the broader audience involved, and that I think will create another movement that we had, like, in the I forget what decade that was.
60s.
Another space race.
60s, yeah.
Yeah, the 60s. So like a secondary space race where the entire populace is, you know, involved in something grander than what's happening here on Earth.
That sounds good. And it wouldn't be hard to come up with something grander than what's happening here on Earth. I mean, that's a pretty tough league now. So in space news, you and I talked about this asteroid that we flew by and landed on for a couple of minutes, something, or briefly. And we're supposed to get some soil samples. And then something happened over the weekend that we dropped the dust, or we lost that, or what are we talking about? What happened in what was chapter two of the asteroid?
So it's good news and bad news combined. So as we spoke about, we needed about 60 grams, so about a Snickers bar worth of material for it to be successful.
Yeah.
We have about, so we collected 400 grams, so 6.5 Snickers bars worth of material.
Okay.
But then because we collected so much, it created a small gap, so the containment capsule couldn't close all the way.
So slowly
leaking material, basically.
Oh, man. So they had to get rid of the Snickers bars, where I'm, you know what I'm saying, but wow.
So maybe we'll lose a few before it gets here.
That's such a weird problem, though, isn't it?
It is.
I was in Texas once, and I'm kind of hooked on Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper used to come with sugar. It was just sugar. Everything, you know, is different now. But in Waco, Texas, you can actually get Dr. Pepper the way it used to taste. So I went down there, and I said, wow, no kidding. So I started, you know, buying cases of case. We basically had to empty about half of the luggage out of the car when we were to replace, you know, for the Dr. Pepper. So I was thinking it's the same concept with the you know, the space people there. So, you'd think they'd plan ahead on that.
Right.
Yeah. 9:24, 24 after the hour on the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show. All right, you and I I don't know when it was about a month ago that we started talking about Venus and the fact that they, again, the space authorities had discovered something called phosphine, P-H-O-S-P-H-I-N-E, which only exists, or generally only exists, where there is life. So you and I were, that's what started this whole, our own science program started with that realization. But I read a couple of days ago that they used the word fluke in a headline. Do you know what they were referring to?
Yes. So this goes back to the very complicated subject of spectral analysis. So when you're doing spectral analysis on the moon, for instance, it's pretty close. We have satellites orbiting the moon. So you can be pretty, so they can, NASA can say that it's unambiguous that they found the presence of water.
Huh.
On Venus, this is an isolated independent team that came up with this finding. And they, with their spectral analysis, because Venus is so far away, they kind of have to assume certain things. So when they see those dips in the spectrum, they're assuming that there's, you know, this molecule and this chemical. So you have to make like a rounded assumption as to what's there.
Yeah.
So basically some other teams looked over their data and found that they may have made some mistakes here and there along the way, assumed some things that they shouldn't have assumed.
Mm.
So maybe phosphine isn't a clear go-ahead. So it's not that they found that it wasn't phosphine. They're just saying there's a room, margin of error that it could not be there.
Again, with the margin of error. Boy, nothing. Jeez. Nothing is clear cut, though. But
that's science, unfortunately.
But I think, I think that is science, and it's good that somebody's checking the math there.
Right.
But, now, I think. Listen, I think all of this is, I think all this is good. In fact, I'm gonna play some. I gotta get a theme going for us when we talk about stuff. Let me just, if I can find it. Boy, I had the theme from 2001. Wouldn't that have been cool?
Right. That would be nice.
Oh. except I can't find it in the thing here. It's probably one of my relatives that miscounted the amount of space needed for the Snicker bar. Happy anniversary, by the way. We're 6 months worth of this show here.
Happy 6 months.
Yeah. So in another 6 months, I will still be looking for that theme from 2001. I tell you what, let's do some chicks here. See you later, man.
All right, peace.
I could use a Texas man, the one who can feel at home, yeah, here in the California sand, who holds me like he'll never.
It's called Texas Man from the Chicks. Formerly the Dixie Chicks. It's 31 past the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Bleat.network here in Chicago. A couple of seconds. We're going to call up one of our early guests on the show here, Lauren Massey from Supper House Chicago, which gives us a chance to talk about food. That's right. So hang on for that. Some news making the news. Did you know that a week from today is Election Day? Please vote. If you haven't done that, make your plan to do it. This is interesting. More than 64 million Americans have already cast their ballots. 64 million people, with about half of them in states that will ultimately decide who wins the Electoral College. And I guess on the downside of that, as you probably have heard by now, the Supreme Court ruled that Wisconsin cannot count mail-in ballots that arrive after November the 3rd. They rejecting appeal by Democrats. I don't know what to make of that. I'll throw it out there, but that's what we're dealing with. Some of these people that have done the mail-in balloting have been thwarted by the post office and stuff like that. So, yeah, we're just going to have to do our best here. This is an interesting angle. One more lick on this here. I hadn't really thought of that. This is a headline in the New York Times. Fat and happy with the court, comma, did Republicans lose their winning issue? So without the specter of a liberal court, President Trump and Republicans may find that conservative voters are now complacent and no longer motivated to vote. Well, heck, we confirmed all these conservative justices were done. We don't have to go outside anymore. So I hadn't thought of that. That makes sense. I ponder that. So anyway, what's going on right now? On this day, let's see here, Theodore Roosevelt has a birthday, the 26th president. Walt Disney's first TV show, Disneyland, premiered on ABC. That's a really interesting story, and if I can find some stuff, maybe we will illustrate that. Everybody knows what Disneyland is, which preceded Disney World, but they made a very unusual decision. Walt, who was born in Chicago, they decided that they would base a TV show around this theme park. There weren't any theme parks in 1954. There weren't a lot of TV shows that did that kind of thing. Anyway, they came up with a show called Disneyland, and they premiered it on ABC on this day in 1954. The Cuban Missile Crisis ended, more or less. We have had a 13 days of anniversaries to talk about that. That's interesting. We're gonna talk more about that. And finally, this day in 1960, civil rights leader Martin Luther King was released from the Georgia State Prison following a direct intervention from Robert F. Kennedy, who was within, about a month or two of seeing his brother being elected president. That'd be John F. Kennedy. And then Robert F. became attorney general. That happened in 1960. And you know what else happened in 1960? Ben E. King released this record.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea. I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand.
What happened to the music? Oh my goodness. Jeez. Really? You want to hear it again? Let's see if we can do the whole thing. Okay, Ben E. King. Jeez. Hey, did we talk about Mercury being retrograde? We did.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. So darling, stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. And darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand now. Stand by me.
It's Benny King. Hey, good songs. You have to hear him, you know, twice or maybe one and a half times there. 21 before the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago on Bleep.network. And this is kind of anniversary week, anniversary month. We've been plugging away at this for about 6 months here. And some of the folks that were nice enough to come on one time, I have foolishly agreed to come on a second time. And we join Lauren and Thomas Massey from the Supper House in Chicago. Hey. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
We are good. How are you?
Good. Thomas, you're there too, right?
Yes.
It's a miracle. We've had odd technical stuff going on here today. I pulled up your new menu. And I'm already salivating. In fact, I'm going to be doing this
yeah.
I'm going to be biting into a chip. There we go. I'm going to bite our way through. So I recalled our producer, Sparks, whom you know, reminded me that she and Aaron, the science baron, whom we just heard, were over at the studio. and I served them a cocktail that was made with some strawberry lemonade that you all made. And then we demolished a plate of your Swedish meatballs. So,
Are so good. That is like my favorite. Right now, that's one of my favorite entrees. It goes so well with mashed potatoes. I actually felt very full after it.
Those are good. I have some Swedish blood, and those are good Swedish. Those are good meatballs. So, and we should know. Now you have to have your own booze. You don't sell booze down there. You can go get the strawberry lemonade down at the supper house. But guys, I'm figuring, we're unlicensed. We're under the radar. How much trouble can I get in by just giving away alcohol? You know what I'm saying? They'll come down. We'll do a quiz. They'll come down. They'll get, what's the other thing? You make something, there's the strawberry lemonade, which is great. And then there's a couple of other, I don't want to call them cocktail makings. One of them has some basil in it, I think. What am I thinking about?
Yeah, it's a strawberry basil, yeah. Watermelon basil.
That's it, yeah.
With some lime juice instead of lemon juice.
Right.
I like it with tequila. It was a very summery drink, but one of our regulars actually put some bourbon in it. Yeah. She loved it.
Oh, man. That works. So we could do a quiz. So they go down to your place. It's non-alcoholic, right? And then they call up the radio show. We give them a quiz.
We are BYOB, though.
Are you? I can actually bring some in?
Wine, beer. We just have a small corkage fee. We have enough glasses. And if you come in with a really nice bottle of wine, we have, crystal glasses to serve it in.
I'm ready. I wish I had one of those in my hand right now, Lauren. It's probably too early to drink, but...
These are different times. The call for desperate measures. I don't think if you had a cocktail right now, no one would question you.
This is Lauren and Thomas Massey, M-A-S-S-E. And they are the proprietors of a place called Supper House Chicago, which I'm a big fan of. And a lot of, because the mask thing, see, we go there all the time. They don't know who we are. So we just sneak in. We could be anybody. But The food is just great stuff, but it's not in Boys Town anymore. They changed it to something. What is that neighborhood supposed to be called now? It's not Boys Town. Right?
I still call it Boys Town, but I think North Halsted.
Yeah.
I think they're calling it now, but none of the landmarks have been changed. None of the, that you see on the crosswalk. I do believe it still says Boys Town on it.
I lived in the adjacent neighborhood. I get to call it what I want to call it. How about that? Sounds like I've had a couple of drinks, right? I tell you what, we're not changing from. So anyway, it's a, and give me your, I keep, I should write this down. Give me your street address. It's on Halsted, right?
Yes, it's 3404 North Halsted. We're at Roscoe and Halsted, right across from 7-Eleven by Beatnik. The costume shop is right next door to us.
Very nice.
And the men's store is right down the way.
So how's it going operating a restaurant in the time of the COVID in Chicago, and how's that going? Your place is not very large, and you do a lot of takeout business, right?
Yes, that's what we concentrate in. That was our concept from the very beginning, was to mostly do takeout and, Grubhub, DoorDash. I talked to a lot of my friends, and they just said that's all they did for 4 or 5 times a week. So I said, that's the way the trends are going, and this was last year. And then COVID hit. I'm like, I guess we had the right idea from the very beginning. Because sure. That's what people are doing anyway, even before this hit. This was, this was a very big upward trend that people want to stay home. We did open the dining room this last couple of months. We had, a few diners here and there, but now with the changes, it's not really going to affect us too much with if dining does go 100%, cannot dine in anywhere. But we're hanging in. It's just, it's a tough go with, we just take every day at a time.
Thank God we still eat. There's so many. I'm only halfway kidding. There's so many things that we don't do anymore, but we do, in fact, eat. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's when the temperatures drop. We love it because that's when we get, our menu is comfort food. it's funny. It's like, what was it last week? It was 70 degrees. Oh, yeah. Sales were okay for the next day. Or yesterday when it snowed, it just like stopped. We're the opposite. We love the cold weather. It brings the people over to us because our menu was built for that.
This the thinking is that these are meals that you make that create memories for people.
Yeah.
And they do. They absolutely do. So you guys have children, I believe.
A 4-year-old and a 20-month-old.
Wow. Okay. Now is Thomas teaching the 4-year-old yet to cook?
To cook.
He has some good skills of his own already. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh no, he'll teach him how to do stuff, and all of a sudden we'll sit down and watch TV, and our son comes around with his big like knife blade and wanting to cut an apple. We're like, oh my god, put the butcher knife down. He wants to be very hands-on because he sees daddy.
That's cool, though. Listen, everything that I learned about cooking up until I was unfortunate enough to go into the restaurant industry myself, I learned from my mother, who was, you know, she was just a traditional in the Depression cook, and everything that she did, I sort of memorized. But you know, I think to have parents that are, you know, that are foodies, you know, and cooks and restaurateurs, I just, that's the coolest thing. They're gonna love that, you know. Hopefully they'll never starve. That's what I tell people.
If you learn,
right? If you learn how to cook, you never starve. So.
No. That's why we're creating. We are creating a charity called the Ma and Pa Nelson Charity. It's for. It's named after my great grandparents, who actually during the Depression owned a grocery store in Rockford, Illinois, and they really helped a lot of people out during the Depression. When they passed away and they came up to my mom, there's 1,000 people there, and they said, without your grandparents, we would have never have made it through the Depression.
Wow.
I mean, they didn't call in and ask for money right away. They let tabs. People came to the back door. They gave, you know, scraps of meat just for people to get by. And it's like, so that generosity, we want to carry that over to help people this Thanksgiving. Our goal is to feed 5 families. During our fall fest, we raised enough to do 2 families right now, so we have 3 more to go. So our charity is up. There's a page on our website if anyone is interested in donating.
That's good for you. We're getting some sort of telephone traffic here, but let's put that on the air again. Those are your grandparents? And what, I'm sure, what is the name of that foundation again?
We're calling it the Ma and Pa Charity.
Okay, very good. So
you are my great grandparents.
Okay. You know, Jesus. I teared up. I really did. So you're gonna try to feed 5 families for Thanksgiving?
Yes, just to start out and see you know, what we could do. I think that's a good goal.
Yeah. Does Thomas go crazy for Thanksgiving? I mean that's the big meal. People that cook a big meal, that's what they do. Do you do a turkey, Thomas?
Oh, yeah, turkey and oyster stuffing and different dressings and duck. And, you know, we got away from the tofurkey, where you stuff a chicken inside of a duck, inside of a goose, inside of a turkey.
That was like a Rubik's Cube. I remember that. That was a very odd idea that they did that. Oyster stuffing, Thomas, I'm going to come back to that. I really like that, and I don't know how to make it. How do you make oyster stuffing?
Well, you get some good oysters.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, you shuck them and use fresh oysters, and you create a basic bread stuffing. So we make our own bread, and we're using some challah and sourdough.
Wow, okay.
And some herbs and some fresh turkey stock and let it all steep together, and so you have a really moist flavorful stuffing with a little bit of sage.
Do you this is kind of an inside chef question. Do you cook your do you cook it in a pan, or do you cook it inside the bird?
In a pan.
Yeah.
So inside the bird, a lot of times you, because of the juices, you got to get it up to a certain temperature.
Yeah.
And the bacteria growth Yeah. So I put outside the bird.
And what's the trick?
The bird with apples and vegetables.
Okay. And what's the trick to having that succulent, perfect turkey? What's your tip on that?
A good brine.
Do you?
So having your bird brined ahead of time gives moisture into the bird and keeps it very moist.
And I think that means you get a big metal pot and some kosher salt and brine it for overnight. What do you do?
Correct. Yeah. So you take some water and salt and just a touch of sugar, bring it to a boil and let it cool, and then let your bird nestle in there overnight and take it out and then season it and roast it. And the water goes into the bird because there's a higher salt concentration.
Right.
And so the water goes in and you get a very tender bird.
I'm so ready for this. Lauren, do you now? You cook too, I know. Do you guys get in the kitchen together and fight, or not?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes. I start cutting the onion. He's like, "No, you have to go." I'm like, "Just shut up! I know how to cut an onion."
And what else is on the Thanksgiving menu for you guys?
We have a lot of pastries that people really like to come in for, so we're doing the traditional pumpkin pie and apple pie and cherry pies and then we're doing a peanut butter pie.
I just canceled my afternoon appointments. I'll be down there in about an hour.
Actually had a request from some of our regulars because Tom makes an amazing chicken stock. Even just to have that at the base of your great, or you know, the stock, he takes the time, the effort to actually make it really just nice and rich, so it's perfect for gravy. And so we've had a few requests just to actually buy his stock for Thanksgiving. People have already emailed me.
Yeah, are you doing that? Are you selling his stock?
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
For Thanksgiving.
That's cool. Yes. We need a picture of you guys on the jar. Trying to think how that works.
Well, you don't want our faces.
With one of you grabbing the knife away. So I pulled up your menu, and I'm happy to recommend these dishes. I've had them. If you just joined us, go down and see these people, will you please? They're good friends of ours. Supper House Chicago, 3404 North Halstead, Lauren and Thomas. And it's just good stuff down there. Chicken pot pie, which is one of my favorites. They make a great one there. I'll read this. Chicken breast, carrot, celery, onion, and peas stewed in our famous 10-something. That's when the printer cut it off, but you're stewed there.
Oh, 10-hour.
Oh, okay.
Chicken stock.
The pulled barbecued chicken mac and cheese is unbelievable. I mentioned
that's one of the most popular items on the menu.
And the Swedish meatball dinner is really good. I don't know. The term Swedish meatballs, that identifies a dish, not necessarily a style of making meatballs. But I don't know. I have Swedish relatives. I guess what I'm asking, there are Swedish meatballs, and then there are Swedish meatballs. But yours are pretty authentic, I think. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I do believe Tom got the recipe from his grandmother, who was Swedish, and I'm almost 100% Swedish. I'm like 90-something. My mom's parents, actually, or grandparents, came from Sweden, both. And I asked my mom, I'm like, well, do you have a good meatball recipe? She's like, we didn't cook. Like, you don't have a... No. It was kind of funny. Like... And from Sweden, and you don't have any good family recipes. Nope.
Something new I see. I haven't had this one yet. The steamed shrimp dumpling. Mm-mm. Dumplings stuffed with shrimp, napa cabbage, carrot, shiitake mushrooms. This is good. You know, I printed this out in black and white, and it even looks good. I know. Hey, you guys have, I got to say, I make a meal on this beer cheese and pretzel dip. They make For people that have like Wisconsin roots, for example, there people do all kinds of stuff with like fondue, like dips and things. But anyway, they make down there at the supper house, beer cheese and pretzel dip, which is, it's got beer in it and cheddar cheese, and it's so good. So you make a meal out of that, and then these hand pies that you guys make, which is that just means a pie that you hold in your hand, right?
Oh yeah, you remember growing up with Hostess?
Yeah.
Apple pies.
Sure.
It's like an adult version of it.
Okay. I've had them. No, they're good. I just didn't. I didn't.
They're really good.
I didn't know.
That's one of my favorites.
I didn't know I was called that. Wow.
Ashley took it home, threw it in the microwave, and I had some vanilla ice cream left over, and it was just delicious.
This is
and
so
it's not
good.
Messy because it's all in the crust.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. A continued COVID success for you all, I hope. This has been quite a year for
Thank
all
you.
Of us. You guys are going to make it. I know it. This is Lauren and Thomas Massey of the Supper House in Chicago. Go down there, 3404 North Halsted. You can call them up. They have a website, and I highly recommend them. And I'll be down there. I'm the guy in the mask, sitting, waiting for my pretzels.
So
you guys have a great year. Talk to you soon.
You too, Carrie.
This white cast produced in Chicago by Natasha Rodriguez. Have the best day you can. See you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I ever knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.